Al's wife to 24, and also John chapter 20. Luke 24, we'll read verses 38 through verse 40. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the 11, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. In John chapter 20, verse 26 through 28, and after 8 days, 8 days from what we just read, counting the day that it happened, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. These two texts are Luke and John's account of two separate but very similar events, two separate but yet connected events, both events involving the resurrected Christ and his apostles or his church. The text in Luke occurs on the evening of the resurrection, that Sunday. John also gives record of that in John 20, verses 19 through 23. From John's account, we see that the 11 were assembled, and the reason was because of fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said, peace be unto you. That was the need of those who were assembled. They needed the very peace of Jesus Christ. They were in need of this contentment. Luke records here in verse 38, that Jesus then asked them, after he said peace, he asked them two questions, which again further reveals their need. He asked them, why are you troubled? And then he asked them, why do thoughts or troubling thoughts arise in your hearts? And then Luke records that following those questions that Jesus said, behold, my hands and my feet. And in verse 40 of Luke's account, he says, he showed them his hands and his feet. So he says, behold, my hands and my feet. And then he showed them. This goes further than behold. He showed them his hands and his feet. John records the result of this was then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Luke records that there was great joy and wonder. John adds in his account that Thomas was not there. So there were 10 in Luke's account. And then in the text in John, verse 26, John 20, verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Same place. It's the following Sunday. Counting the Sunday before, you come up with eight. Many people have made a big deal out of that. But Thomas, he says to Thomas here, he's not speaking to everyone, but he speaks to Thomas, verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, and he would say to Thomas, behold my hands. And the result of Thomas beholding the hands of Jesus, verse 28, Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. So these are both post-resurrection events in which Jesus made himself known to his people. What we want to notice is that in both events, he calls attention to his hands. Behold my hands. In the first event, both Luke and John bear witness of the fact that he showed them his hands. Something beyond, something deeper than behold my hands. So he's standing in the midst, the apostles are gathered around, and he says, behold my hands. All attention is upon his hands. And then he showed them his hands. Again, with greater detail. We're going to speak today on the hands of Jesus. The Gospels make many references to the hands or hand of Jesus. Now, these apostles who were gathered on these two occasions, they had personally witnessed Jesus doing many things with his hands. And no doubt they had personally experienced the hands of Jesus Christ in their lives. They were very familiar with his hands. And I pray today that we could stand with the apostles and by faith behold the hands of Jesus Christ. Behold the hands of Jesus. The Shulamite woman in Song of Solomon beheld the hands of her bridegroom. The bridegroom, of course, being a type of Christ. And she said in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 14, his hands are as gold, speaking metaphorically, are as gold rings set with beryl. What she is saying is his hands are uniquely strong. His hands are uniquely beautiful. And when Jesus said, behold my hands, those were strong and beautiful hands. And those hands tell quite a story. The hands of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He was God in human flesh. We read in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John 1, verse 14, and the Word, the same Word that was with God, the same Word that was God, was made flesh. So Jesus Christ was the enfleshment of God. In being so, he identifies himself with frail and sinful man. So think of Jesus as the enfleshment of God. He is God. He is the God-man. Being God, His hands are the enfleshed hands of God. They are the very hands of God. Now, God is spirit, but Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So when we read of the hands of Jesus, we're talking about the enfleshed hands of God. We read in Exodus 13 and verse 3, referring to Israel's deliverance from Egypt, "For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place." We read in Joshua 4:24 that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. And in Psalm 89:13, "Strong is thy hand." And in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, we read of the mighty hand of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, "The Lord, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands." So the hands of Jesus are almighty hands. They are powerful hands. And Jesus says, "Behold, My hands." We read in 1 Chronicles 29, "In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength." Jesus Christ being God, His hands are sufficient. His hands are sufficient to make great. His hands are sufficient to do whatever He pleases. His hands are blessed hands. Jesus Christ being God, His hands are gracious. His hands are merciful. His hands are loving. His hands are ministering. And Jesus says, "Behold, My hands." The very hands of God. And I would remind you, Isaiah 59 verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. With all that being said, we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Jesus says, "Behold, My hands." They are ministering hands. We see this all through the earthly ministry of Christ. Jesus Christ was God's provision, God's remedy for man. He was God's cure. He was God's solution. He was God's answer to man's greatest problem, sin. And all through the earthly ministry of Christ, we see Jesus Christ showing up in dire places. Places of impossibilities. Places of great wretchedness. And we see Him coming into the needy, desperate lives of men and women and children of many different backgrounds and ministering with His hands. And the apostles witnessed much of this. We see Him in places of death. We see Him in places of darkness. We see Him in places of brokenness. We see Him in places of desperation and helplessness and hopelessness. We see Him in places of weakness and distress and sorrow and agony. We see Him in places of debilitating sickness and disease. We see Him going into places of satanic dominion and places of defeat and places of fear. And He would go into those places, and many times He would minister with his hands. The very hands of God. And Jesus says, "Behold my hands." And these apostles, they had witnessed those hands doing many wonderful works. And when Jesus said, "Behold my hands," no doubt many thoughts went through their mind. Perhaps one thought of the time when Jesus touched a blind man. Perhaps another thought of a time when Jesus touched the deaf or the sick or a leper. But I'm sure many thoughts went through their minds. And they knew, as they looked upon his hands, they knew that there was life-changing power in the hands of Jesus Christ. And may I say, his hands are timeless. Whatever his hands were, they still are. We see, we read several times of Jesus laying his hands, plural, upon individuals. That's grace. That's mercy. Keep in mind, those are almighty hands. He could lay his hands upon an individual and destroy them at that very moment. But that's not what he's doing. In Matthew 19, verse 13, we read that there were brought unto him little children. And the reason the people brought them, these children, it says that he would put his hands upon them and pray. And we read in verse 15 of Matthew 19, and he laid his hands upon them. Little children. So he would very gently lay his hands upon them. And Mark says in his account, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So there was blessing in those hands. We also read in Mark 6, verse 5, that there was a time that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And we read in Luke chapter 4, in verse 40, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." That's all he did. He just laid his hands. So there was healing power in those hands. There was blessing power. There was healing power. We read in Luke 13 and 11, "Behold, there was a woman." This woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. A spirit of infirmity. This infirmity that she had was demonic in origin. And she was bowed together and could nowise lift up herself. And we read in verse 13, "And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight." There was transforming power in his hands. Revelation 1, verse 17, John said, "He laid his hands upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." In that case, Jesus laid his hands upon John to reassure John. So there was reassuring power in the hands of Jesus Christ. So just picture Jesus' hands upon needy souls. And then hear Jesus say, "Behold my hands." And then he proceeded further to show them his hands. The book of Ezekiel, we hear Ezekiel say three times, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That is an acknowledgement of the presence of God. We ought to long for His hands to be upon us. We ought to long for His hands to be upon others. It ought to be our prayer that Jesus would set His hands upon us, that Jesus would set His hands upon others. In Mark chapter 5, verse 23, Jairus pleaded with the Lord. He said, "My little daughter," we learn later that she was 12 years old, "lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her." Jairus believed that there was something special about the hands of Jesus Christ, that you would come and lay your hands upon her. And in Mark 7, verse 32, we read of the people bringing a deaf man unto Jesus, and they beseech Him that He lay, that He put His hands upon this deaf man. You see, they believed in the blessed power of His hands, and therefore they pleaded, "Lord, lay Your hands upon them." That ought to be our prayer. When we come in contact with individuals and of various backgrounds, of various needs, it ought to be our prayer, "Lord, lay Your hands upon them." And however fit the Lord sees to do that, but lay Your hands upon them. We also read of Jesus touching individuals. So He lays His hands upon individuals, and He touches individuals. In Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3, there came a leper, saying, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth His hand, and you put forth your hand, you do so on purpose and with a purpose. He put forth His hand and touched him. No one else would touch a leper. But Jesus put forth His hand and touched the leper. Mark's account, we read in Mark 1, verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him. So that He moved forth with compassion and touched him, it's obvious it was a very tender touch. And what was the result? He was cleansed. That's all Jesus had to do, was touch him. He could have spoke a word, but Jesus chose to minister with His hand. He chose just to touch him. And oh, how wonderful it is when Jesus puts forth His hand to touch a need. To touch a need, whether it be leprosy or whatever the need might be. Nothing is beyond the touch of His hand. We read in Matthew 8, verse 15, Peter's mother-in-law was sick with fever. Jesus comes into the house and we read, and He touched her hand. And the fever left her and she arose. Mark says in his account, he puts it a little differently, He came and took her by the hand. He touched her hand, He took her by the hand. To take by the hand means He grasped her hand. And Mark also says He raised her up. Oh, how wonderful when Jesus puts forth His hand to take us by the hand. How many times have you felt Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, taking you by the hand. There's power in that. Matthew 9:27, there's two blind men following Christ. They're pleading with Him for mercy. And we read in verse 29, then touched He their eyes. That's all He did, was He touched their eyes. We read in verse 30, and their eyes were opened. He touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. Jesus touched a need, and the need and the touch was sufficient for the need. Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John are on the mountain with Jesus. We read in verse 6 that Peter, James, and John fell on their face and were sore or greatly afraid. We read in verse 7 that Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Again, there was transforming power in that touch. There was a reassuring power in that touch. Luke chapter 7, we read of a funeral procession. The only son of a widow woman. We read in verse 12, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And then in verse 14, He came and touched the bier. He came and put His hand upon the casket and He issued a command to that dead young man. He said, arise. He touched and He issued a command. And we read in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And when he delivered him to his mother, don't you think he took him by the hand and delivered him to his mother. This widow woman, no doubt her heart was breaking with inconsolable grief. But the touch of Jesus' hand brought comfort. Brought joy. Oh, the miraculous touch of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 22, the band of men come to arrest Christ. Peter, in his zeal, draws his sword and cuts the high priest's ear off. And we read concerning Christ in verse 51, and he touched his ear and healed him. This was an enemy of Christ. He'd come to arrest him. And Jesus touched his ear and healed him. The Lord's touch can repair the damage that we do. Peter did damage. The Lord fixed it. And he fixed it with just a simple touch. We also read of Jesus taking hold of individuals. Again, Mark's account in the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Matthew just said that he touched her and she arose. The reason she arose is because he lifted her up with his hand. The healing of the daughter of Jairus, and he took the damsel by the hand. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, arise. And straightway the damsel arose. Took her by the hand. In all of this, we see Jesus laying His hands upon individuals. We see Jesus touching individuals. We see Jesus taking individuals by the hand. And in all of that, Jesus is making loving, gracious, merciful contact with the needy. It's God making contact with the needy. How wonderful it is when the Lord makes contact with us. We need to hear Jesus say, behold my hands. Another example of the hands in Matthew chapter 14. The apostles are in a terrible life-threatening storm, and Jesus comes to them walking on the storm-tossed waters, and He says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And he said, come. And I imagine, I picture in my own mind, Jesus, when he said, come, beckons with his hand. Come. And how wonderful it is when Jesus beckons you and I with his hand. Peter, we know, walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And in verse 31, and Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now think about that night in that room when Jesus said, behold my hands. I got to believe that Peter thought back to that time when he was sinking. And he saw Jesus reach forth his hand and save him from that hour. And how many times in our lives Jesus has reached forth his hand and caught us. How many times we would have been destroyed, but Jesus reached forth his hand and caught us. So let's make application. We live in a fallen, chaotic world where Satan, with his darts and his snares and his destructive and conniving ways, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And all the forces of hell have unleashed their fury against the cause of God, against the people of God, against the churches of God. And here we are with innumerable needs. Everyone here has needs. And may I say, no matter how needy you think you are, you're more needy than you realize. Everyone here has cares. Everyone here has burdens, difficulties, and problems. We experience sorrows. We experience heartaches. There are clouds and there are storms and there are battles and there are obstacles. And there is Jesus. And there is power in his hands. There are individuals. Anytime you have a group this size, there are individuals that are in the depths. There are individuals who are in the desert. There are individuals who are in empty places right now as we speak. You may not know it, but that's where they are. There are people in the furnace. There are people trapped and stuck. And there are people who are fearful. And there is Jesus. And there is all power in his hands. And all that we would hear Jesus say, behold my hands. And then that Jesus would show us his hands. Whatever our place of need might be, behold my hands. There's conviction there. There's courage. Just beholding the hands of Christ gives courage. There's assurance. There's peace. There's hope. There's thanksgiving. There's praise. There's thrill. There's excitement in beholding the hands of Jesus. There's a thrill and excitement when Jesus stretches forth his hand toward us. Notice in Mark chapter 8, this pretty much sums up what we've said about the hands of Christ. In Mark chapter 8, we have an unusual miracle of Jesus healing a blind man. Verse 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Again, they knew there was power in that touch. And he took the blind man by the hand. We've already seen that, Jesus taking people by the hand and led him out of the town. He took him by the hand and led him out of the town. And how wonderful it is when Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us away from all that's going on to deal personally with us. And that's what he's doing here. He took him by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. Both hands. We've already seen that. Jesus putting his hands upon individuals. He asked him if he saw aught or anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. He put his hands upon him again. So Jesus takes this man by the hand, leads him out of the town, puts his hands upon his eyes, and now we see he puts his hands again upon his eyes. And the result was, and he saw every man clearly. He put his hands upon him again. Jesus has put his hands upon us again and again and again and again. And he put his hands upon his eyes. That was the source of the problem. And it's a wonderful thing when Jesus touches the source of the problem. Because when he does that, the problem goes away. Now, back in our text, when Jesus said to the apostles, behold my hands, again, we've already said, I believe many thoughts probably went through their minds. But when Jesus said to them that night, behold my hands, he was calling their attention to nail-pierced hands for them. And I believe that's what really got their attention. And those apostles knew those hands were pierced for me. And then it says, and he showed them his hands. He showed them where the nails went in. He showed them in more detail his hands. And all the blessing that came upon them knowing that those hands were nail pierced for them. In that they saw love in those hands. They saw sacrifice in those hands. Behold my hands. They're mighty hands. They're gracious hands. They're merciful hands. They're loving hands. They're sufficient and they are full hands. And they are ministering hands, healing hands, transforming hands, miraculous working hands. But the greatest thing of all is that they are nail-scarred hands for me. They are nail-scarred hands for me. He showed them his hands. And there was gladness and wonder that filled their hearts. And in the second text, the result upon Thomas was, my Lord and my God. When you see his hands, especially when you see his nail-pierced hands, and when he shows you those hands, there's only one thing you can say, my Lord, my God. And that was the effect that it had upon Thomas. Oh, that each one of us that are saved would go from here hand in hand with Jesus Christ. There's no better way to walk through life than hand in hand with Jesus Christ. We sing the hymn, "The Touch of His Hand Upon Mine." The chorus goes, "Oh, the touch of His hand on mine, oh, the touch of His hand on mine. There is grace and power in the trying hour in the touch of His hand on mine." How true. We that are saved have felt the hand of the Lord. Not just once, but He's touched us again and again and again. If you're here and lost, we pray that the Lord would come and lay His hand upon you and impart life to your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.